One of the best April Fool's pranks ever pulled happened actually in 1957. On the BBC, one of their news programs announced that thanks to a mild winter and pretty much the elimination of the spaghetti weevil, that in the Swiss Alps, they were having a bumper crop of spaghetti. Take a look.
The last 2 weeks of March are an anxious time for the spaghetti farmer. There's always the chance of a late frost, which, while not entirely ruining the crop, generally impairs the flavor and makes it difficult for him to obtain top prices in world markets. But now these dangers are over, and the spaghetti harvest goes forward. After picking, the spaghetti is laid out to dry in the warm alpine sun. Many people are often puzzled by the fact that spaghetti is produced at such uniform length, but this is the result of many years of patient endeavor by plant breeders who've succeeded in producing the perfect spaghetti. For those who love this dish, there's nothing like real homegrown spaghetti.
Nothing like real homegrown spaghetti. Not to be outdone, in 1998, Burger King took out full-page ads introducing the left-handed Whopper. It had all the same ingredients of the traditional Whopper, but the condiments had been shifted 180 degrees for their left-handed customers. They later announced that thousands of people showed up asking for the new sandwich. Others said, no, they'll just take the right-handed Whopper. April Fool's jokes, they're great, they're fun. Unfortunately, I was the brunt of a lot of them. I'm the youngest. I had two older brothers. They thought it was great fun to get their gullible little brother to believe things. But after a while, I finally wised up and I stopped believing them to the point that when they tell me something which was true, I wouldn't believe them. I said, I'm not believing you, yahoos. You took advantage of me too many times. And then they'd get frustrated. And then they'd get angry. And they'd say, no, it's true, it's true. No fooling. Did you ever do that as a kid? No fooling, right? I think that's how the women felt as they came back to tell the disciples all that had happened. With their heads hung low, they go off to the grave of Jesus. But now the rock is moved away. It's empty inside. The angel says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here, just like he told you. All excited, they go back to the disciples. They tell them everything that's happened. And how do they react? Yeah, we don't think so. Scripture says it seemed like an idle tale to them, and they didn't believe them. Now, if that happened today, I think the women would have said, no, it's true, it's true. He's risen. No fooling. My friends, I'm here to tell you, I don't care if it is April 1st, Jesus is alive. No fooling. That's why we've gathered here. This is the pinnacle of our faith, is that we don't have a God who is dead in the grave, but he came out triumphant, and Jesus is alive. No fooling. Now, sounds too good to be true. I get that. Sounds too good to be true, and maybe we want to try and explain it away, because after all, it's not too often someone who's dead comes back to life. And there's been many attempts through the years of trying to explain away the resurrection. But the fact is that we have evidence even outside of Scripture which supports the fact that Jesus is alive. For instance, news spread quickly. See, there are some that have said he was a great teacher, but after a while, then there became a legend that he rose from the grave. Well, a legend takes 2 to 3 generations before it actually comes up to be a legend. Within months, we have facts that the news of Jesus' resurrection was being spread throughout Jerusalem and Judea. The news spread very quickly. How about the fact the tomb was empty? Even his detractors would agree that the tomb is empty. You might recall the chief priest paid off the guards to say that the disciples stole the body. Well, let's go along with that. If the disciples stole the body, then wouldn't you think that both the Romans and the chief priest would have done everything possible to find it? It would have been the largest manhunt in history. So if they could find the dead body of Jesus and put to rest this story that he came back to life, but they didn't find it because he's alive. How about Jesus' appearances? Oh, we know about the ones of the disciples. All right, maybe they were all fibbing in what they were saying. But St. Paul says to the church at Corinth, one time he appeared to over 500 people. And then he adds this, many of whom are still among us. In other words, St. Paul is saying, check out my story. Go talk to some of the folks who were there who have seen him because Jesus is alive. And then finally, the disciples themselves. Have you ever known a time when 11 men could agree on something? And yet all 11 guys agree on what happened on that first Easter Sunday. And what did that get them? Well, it got them ostracized from their people. They were beaten, they were ridiculed, they were thrown in prison, and they died holding on to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. No one dies for a lie because Jesus is alive. No fooling. No fooling. And if Jesus is alive, then Jesus can be trusted. See, if Jesus is alive, then Jesus can be trusted because he has proven to be trustworthy. Hundreds of prophecies came to fulfillment in Jesus from his birth all the way to his death. Or how about the very fact that before they ever entered into Jerusalem, Jesus pulled his disciples aside and in detail described everything that was going to happen to him. He says, once I get there, I'm going to get arrested. They're going to hand me over to the Gentiles. They're going to beat me up. They're going to spit on me. They're going to crucify me. I'm going to die. And 3 days later, I'm going to come back to life. Now, if somebody tells you that 3 days after they're dead, they're going to come back to life, and then they do it, I think you can trust him. I think you can trust him. Jesus can be trusted. How important is that for us today? Anyone else getting fed up with fake news? Right? Anyone else frustrated to the fact that no matter what news source you go to, it's got a slant and a bias? So every website you go to, every news show that you watch, each one has their own take on it. Where's the truth? Where's the reality? Where's the fact in all of that? Well, see, now we've got a source for truth because Jesus can be trusted. That means every word that he spoke, you can take to the bank. Every teaching he taught, you can follow. And you can even look at his life as an example because Jesus can be trusted. No fooling. Which means Jesus can bring peace. No fooling. I could do with a little bit of peace. We live in a chaotic world. Every morning we wake up and wonder, is there going to be another terror attack? What's going to happen to the market? What's happening in other parts of the world? What rogue nation is going to go off? What's going to happen in our neighborhood? What's going to happen in our schools? Peace is in short supply. Peace of mind, peace of heart. Depression and anxiety are at all-time highs, they tell us. And it's affecting younger and younger generations. We need peace. Jesus brings peace. You see, if Jesus is alive, then Jesus can be trusted, which means that we can trust the promises of Jesus. And Jesus says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age, every moment of every day. I'm with you. Jesus says, you don't need to worry about this life. You have a Father in heaven who is fully aware of your situation. And he has promised to take care of you. Even at those moments when it doesn't seem like it, your Father in heaven will take care of you. Jesus says, you can talk to me anytime, any moment. We can pray to him. Even psychologists have to admit the power of prayer because Jesus can bring peace in our lives. And not only that, but peace with our Father in heaven. Jesus brings peace to our Father in heaven. Nothing can take away your happiness and steal your peace like a good dose of guilt. When you feel guilty about something, that's quickly followed by regret and remorse. It's like two cement shoes just dragging you down. And we all got things that we feel guilty about. Maybe you're feeling guilty about something that was said this morning as you were trying to get here, right? Maybe you're going to feel guilty about something you say in the parking lot when you try and get out of here. We got lots of things that we can feel guilty about, okay? But Jesus takes the guilt away. Jesus takes the guilt away and makes peace with our Father in heaven. Listen to what St. Paul said to the church at Colossae. He said, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all of your sins. He canceled the record of charges against us by nailing it to the cross. The record of charges against, I don't want to see my record. I don't want to know how long it is. All I know is it got nailed to the cross. And that's what Friday was all about. Jesus took our sins, they were nailed to the cross. He stepped in, took our place, bore the punishment, died for us. But today, he comes back alive to announce his victory over sin and his victory over death itself. And now peace is made with our Father in heaven. Jesus brings peace, no fooling. And Jesus promises heaven, no fooling. That's the ultimate. You see, Jesus not only walks alongside of us in this life, but he says, I'm with you for an eternity. And my friends, heaven is a perfect place. Heaven's a perfect place. So if I'm going to spend eternity someplace, I want to be in a perfect place. Because I love this life, and I'm going to hang on to this life. But let's face it, it's a slugfest, right? We're just slugging through life. Some days are better than others, right? But sometimes it's an uphill battle. I don't want to do that for an eternity. And Jesus says, no, heaven's a perfect place. So whatever you want to put in your mind, and whatever you picture as a perfect place, you can go ahead and do that. But there are some constants that I know. Right? If it's a perfect place, there's no pain. There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no anger. There's no hatred. There's no death. There's no sin. Heaven is going to be full of perfect people. In fact, only perfect people can get into heaven. Otherwise, it wouldn't be perfect. Now, some of you are sharp enough to go, now, wait a minute. You just told me I had to feel guilty about a few things there. Are you trying to say that I can't get into heaven? Yep, you can't get into heaven. But Jesus can bring you there. I can't get into heaven, but Jesus can bring me into heaven. That's what Friday and today is all about. Jesus paid the debt of my sin. Today, he declares a victory over that, and now he declares all of you to be righteous. He declares all of you to be perfect, and he bursts open the gates of heaven to each and every one of us because Jesus promises heaven, no fooling. Seems too good to be true, doesn't it? Seems too good to be true, but it is true. It is absolutely true. Jesus is alive. And if Jesus is alive, Jesus can be trusted. And if you can trust him, then Jesus brings you peace, and Jesus promises you heaven. He's risen. No fooling. In fact, let's change it up this Easter, shall we? He's risen. Oh, we can do better. 850 did better than that. Come on. He's risen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Would you please stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son into our world to redeem us. Lord Jesus, thank you for walking among us, giving your life for us, coming back to life, and then sharing the victory with us. Holy Spirit, dwell in our hearts. Never let us waver. Never let us doubt that Jesus is alive. In his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.